Spam Radio Network.
I also think that songs are a perfect springboard, and whether it's at home or at school, parents or teachers should use those as opportunities to discuss the values that are embedded inside those songs. If you're singing Little Miss Muffet, you might talk about why she ran away from the spider and would it take courage to come back and face that.
Welcome to Music and Learning. I am Marianne Harmon.
Welcome, Dr. Schiller, and thank you, Annalisa, for joining us. When thinking of a valuable education, people often don't think of values, and they aren't very often included in on state standards. But in your book, Dr. Schiller, on teaching values, each value is introduced with a song. Why did you use songs?
As you well know, songs are a good way to start anything. I start every presentation with a song. But in the case of the values book, because singing calms the brain and allows you to think more consciously. And when we're thinking more consciously, we're more likely to utilize the values that we have ingrained in us. Also because each chapter in the values book is a specific value, and the song that I chose to introduce that value is a good springboard for being able to teach that value to children. For example, Itsy Bitsy Spider is a great song to teach and then talk about the determination of the spider in not giving up, but continuing her journey as soon as she got dried off and the sun came back out.
That's a great point. Annalisa, would you like to comment on this?
You know, I was thinking about songs that we learn in our childhood that come back to us as adults when we're under stress and pressure and those sorts of things. And, you know, songs will help when you have a memory and you have a song attached to it. It's a very strong connection and a very strong association. So it's a great way to get those values and things ingrained into the brain so that the children remember them.
Absolutely. Now, these songs could be used for more than explaining what a value is. Songs could be used to actually teach the value by doing something. For example, I know that you have an idea, an interesting one, called cooperative musical chairs. Could you explain that to us?
Yeah, I use that in the chapter on cooperation, along with a lot of other games that are cooperative in nature. I used cooperative musical chairs in the chapter in the book on learning to be cooperative, along with a lot of other cooperative games. And cooperative musical chairs, I don't really use chairs at all. I normally use masking tape to make circles on the floor with young children because it's a little bit more safe. So I might make a 6-foot diameter circle and a 4-foot diameter circle and then a 2-foot diameter circle with the masking tape. And then when I stop the music, instead of having to sit in a chair, children simply have to get inside one of those circles. And each time the music stops, I would take up a circle. So I might take up the 2-foot circle first and then start the music again. And so then they just have to get inside one of the two remaining circles. And then the next time we stop the music, I take up the 4-foot diameter circle. And now they have to get inside everybody inside that 6-foot diameter circle. And it means you're going to have to help each other do that. You're going to have to hold on to each other. And you might only get 1 foot in and have to balance in there. But the idea is for everybody to win instead of having just one winner.
There are many songs out there that just don't feel right to us anymore. You're in the middle of singing them and you're like, ooh, that doesn't sound right. Like, and a good example would be Bunny Foo Foo. Yet people keep singing the song and it won't go away. So there are options. We can take those songs and change them to teach a better perspective. Can you give an example?
Yeah, Bunny Foo Foo is a perfect example. I just dislike that song so much because, of course, he's bopping the field mice on the head, and we don't really want to teach that hitting is okay at any point in time. So what I would do with that song is, you know, children like singing it and teachers like singing it as well. So if they're going to sing it, then I would stop and say, you know, that is really not a very nice thing to do. Nobody likes to be bopped on the head. Why do you think Bunny Foo Foo's bopping the field mice on the head? Do you think he's afraid? And if he is, how could we help him not be afraid of mice? Or do you think he thinks it's fun? And if he thinks it's fun, what could we teach him that might be more fun that he could do than hitting the mice on the head? So it's a good springboard to take it in the opposite direction.
Annalisa, do you have some experience with some of these songs?
Oh, yes. We sure do. And, you know, you're right. Those songs aren't going to go away. I don't think it's a good idea to remove all the bad things and to make everything absolutely politically correct because then you create a perfect world, and we don't have a perfect world. So if you can, as she says, if you can use those songs to teach something and to go and make them stop and think and change, then that's a perfect use for a song. If there's something strange or broken, the kids will comment on it, and that's almost more interesting, and they'll remember that more than if everything was perfect all the time.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I have my own version of Bunny Foo Foo, too. We all change those things that just don't feel right. And when it's being taught through music, you're going to keep it forever. Now, am I correct, Dr. Schiller, that values are in place by around the age of 7?
Yeah, that's pretty closely it. You know, the Catholics used to say, give me a child between birth and 6 and I'll give you a devout Catholic, because really the mass of what we are ingrained with is going to happen in those first 6 or 7 years of life. So very true. They're taught values very young. They come from the home. They come from examples around them. They come from what they see other people model. But they're going to be ingrained in children. And you're right. 7's about it.
And so when they come through song, which impacts the memory even greater, if the value is not a good one, a good lesson, they're going to keep that.
It's possible, yeah. Because you're right, songs are emotional, and anything that's emotional has a higher influence in the brain, so it's processed more quickly, and it's processed in a deeper place.
Yes, it's often been for all of us, I'm sure. Another thing in education that's often overlooked that I think I tell kindergarten teachers all the time, this should be on your state standards. Teach the children to laugh. Have a sense of humor. And music's another way that you can instill a sense of humor, and you discuss that in your book. Share that with us.
Well, I remember writing a thesis in my college days on music as a universal language. It speaks to the soul. It's part of every culture. Everybody has their own form. Each culture has its own form. In the classroom, our second language learners will learn to sing along with songs before they're even officially speaking our language, you know. So it is a very universal thing. All cultures use music as a form of celebration. It's joyful. And I just think that, you know, from the beginning of time, music has been with us. And it has taken on many forms and many cultures. But it certainly is the part of anything that we celebrate because of the joyful aspect of music.
Well, going more into like the value of the values that are taught by having these rituals and celebrations, especially because in today's climate, some of the celebrations, people are afraid of keeping them around, that they might insult someone else. But these celebrations are an important part to humans because we look forward and we socialize. You know, we work together. We have commonality in these rituals and songs. So what could you say about keeping these things in our education system for children to appreciate values and song and celebration, et cetera?
I think it was Annalisa talked about being politically correct. And, you know, I totally agree. We can't be overly politically correct. But I think in doing what we call political correctness, we've thrown out some very valuable things. And many of those celebrations are uniquely who children are from their own culture, their own heritage. And they're like a tapestry. A beautiful woven piece of tapestry with all of our individual differences blending together. And so I think we do have to honor the way that people do celebrate specific things.
Another good point. And Annalisa, I'm pretty sure you have something to say here.
I usually do, don't I? You know, it's also about teaching children respect for each other's cultures and their way of doing things. And, you know, you don't have to do things their way, but at least you have a better of an understanding of why somebody might do something some way, and it maybe you might not have understood before, you know. And sometimes if you took away, let's say you didn't want to talk about slavery because it bothered somebody and we want to kind of whitewash over that or make it worse, and you take away spirituals, well, spirituals, you get into, for instance, the history and what was the secret meaning besides some of those words in the spirituals and why were they sung. And music brings such a deepness and a richness into all sorts of other areas of learning. And, you know, it helps us understand each other better and just helps. I think music in regards to celebration can help us understand somebody from their perspective.
Sounds like almost a whole nother show, doesn't it? Before we say goodbye to our listeners, Dr. Schiller, could you leave them with some helpful advice on how they can use music to give children a valuable education?
Yes, may or can. These are the things that come to my mind. First and foremost, I think we start every day with singing. If you're in the classroom, that's great. It builds a sense of community among classmates. But even if you're not in the classroom, it increases your oxygen, which makes you more alert, increases your endorphins, which boost your memory, and it also creates a calmness of spirit. I also think that songs are a perfect springboard, and whether it's at home or at school, parents or teachers should use those as opportunities to discuss the values that are embedded inside those songs. If you're singing Little Miss Muffet, you might talk about why she ran away from the spider and would it take courage to come back and face that. And we talked about several ways that we could use that as a springboard. I also think that we should teach children to sing when they feel upset or afraid, and we should teach them that it's a way to help calm themselves back down. And then I think the final thing, and always my final statement to everybody, is remember that childhood should be joyful, and music is one of the very best tools we have to create that joy in both the home and the classroom.
I love that. Thank you for being here. For more information on this subject or to comment, please click on the forum button under the interview. Thank you. You've been listening to Music and Learning with Marianne Harmon. Thanks for listening.
This program is produced by Jack Street Media and is part of the Affiliate Nanocasting Network. Thanks for listening.